When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Character Sketches for Boys and Girls by Henry Davenport Northrop, published in 1899. Today I would like to talk with you about forgiveness. There are people who say they have forgiven, but they have not forgotten. This really means that their forgiveness is incomplete. Something is wanting in it. It is defective. It is not free and generous. It is lame and weak. Insofar as an injury is not forgotten and entirely overlooked, it is not forgiven, and there is still resentment in your breast. Now, you are not required to forget the injury and blot it out entirely from your memory. You may recall it to mind, just as you do any other event in your life. The bitter words, the sudden break of confidence, the dark hour in which you felt yourself so grievously wronged. All of this is lodged in your memory, and sometimes comes back to you in spite of yourself. But what should happen is that, because you have so fully forgiven and overlooked the offense, it is now as if that offense had never been committed. The ability to forgive in such manner is a trait that belongs to every noble character. Yet how many people there are who are so selfish, so base, so narrow-minded, that first impulse of a forgiving spirit never shows itself. They take their fancied wrong and hug it to their hearts. They pet and fondle it, remember it constantly, make it a dear favorite. They nurse it as faithfully as a mother would her babe, and appear to take an exquisite pleasure in cherishing resentment. Such people are always ready to take offense. Their toes are everlastingly getting stepped on. And if not stepped on, they easily imagine that they are. They persuade themselves that they are the victims of neglect, that they are slighted and set aside, that they are angels, and there are so few people who appreciate angels. They feel that others have mean designs toward them, that damaging things have been said against their character and reputation. They are not going to overlook this dreadful injury that has been inflicted upon them. All attempts to appease them, to explain matters, to put them in a pleasant mood, utterly fail. If some person is willing to admit that their injury is real, and is generous enough to ask forgiveness, they are unequal to the generous spirit that overlooks and forgets the wrong, which perhaps was inadvertently committed. Forgiveness should be exercised for your own peace of mind, if for no other reason. While it injures your reputation to be harsh and unforgiving, a far greater injury is inflicted upon your inward life. For when the spirit of revenge and malice rankle the heart, there can be no such thing as happiness. Anger and revenge are uneasy passions. Hence it appears that the biblical command to love our enemies, which is thought a hard saying and impossible to be fulfilled, is really no more than bidding us to be at peace with ourselves. which we cannot be so long as we continue to be at enmity with others. It is said of Julius Caesar that upon any provocation, he would repeat the Roman alphabet before he would suffer himself to speak, so that he might be more just and calm in his resentments. It's also said he could forget nothing but wrongs, and remember nothing but benefits. Yet in our own lives, we often hear people, especially when in a state of excitement, avow a determination never to forgive an offense or insult. This disposition, so bitter and relentless, leads to nothing but a sad and gloomy life. The world itself doesn't help matters, for it all too often joins in with shouts of reproach and indignation, exults over the fail of another human being, and pushes the poor soul who has committed the error to some more desperate act of darkness and despair. There is no angel voice to whisper consolation, to urge penitence, to utter sympathy and forgiveness. And yet mercy is one of the noblest attributes of human nature. The person who can look with a lenient eye upon the errors of his or her fellow creatures, who, seeing they have done wrong, is willing to make allowances and to urge them to return again to the upward path of honor, is indeed a friend in a true, real, ennobling sense. If only this merciful disposition were more general, if only greater efforts were made to win the erring soul from their first misdeeds, to forgive them for the past, and cheer them on to better conduct for the future, how much grander life would be. After all, who has not committed error? Who has not strayed from high principle and the lofty standard of perfection? And who would not bemoan the idea of having the door of forgiveness closed against them, of being doomed to suffer, no matter how deep their contrition or how severe their penalty of regret and remorse? An intelligent friend of mine contends that all people have their peculiarities, and that we are more or less monomaniacs. He admits his own mental infirmities, but expresses a hope that they are of the amiable and mild type, rather than the malignant and vicious, and therefore indulges the belief that, to a certain extent, his errors are of a harmless character. No human indeed is perfect. All of us have our frailties and shortcomings, and it very frequently happens that the very blemishes we see and complain of in others are those by which we ourselves are disfigured, but to which we nevertheless are unconscious or blind. But is it true that we are all more or less monomaniacs? That every member of the human family is deluded and deceived, to a certain extent, upon some one subject? The position is startling at first blush, and yet it is not without a semblance of truth. We cannot, in most cases, discover the problem in ourselves, although there are many who know and admit that they have tastes, habits, and prejudices to which they are in some sense slaves, that there are passions which control and master them with an irresistible power, and from which they endeavor in vain to escape. At certain periods, they will wrestle and battle in the most vigorous manner against them, and with apparent success, and yet the effect will be only temporary. The old habit will come back at some unexpected moment. They will yield to it unconsciously. But with others, the difficulty of discovering their weakness and vice is indeed great. It is curious, but no less true, that the faults and follies of our neighbors are a regular subject of comment and criticism, while we cannot, or will not, see similar faults in ourselves. There is scarcely an individual who cannot single out from amongst their circle of acquaintances Someone who is characterized by peculiarities so marked and strong as to render them eccentric. Then there are others who run wild with some peculiar idea. They can think and talk of nothing else. Their minds and hearts seem to have become absorbed in a delusion, a dream, or a prejudice. And in this they indulge themselves continually, and without reference to discretion, common sense, or the ordinary rules of social life. They are enthusiasts, zealots, nay worse, monomaniacs. Everything should yield to their one great purpose. All other interests or considerations should be forgotten, and infatuated for the time by their peculiar idiosyncrasy, they can think of nothing else. Even among the most illustrious people of ancient and modern times, peculiarities, often of a most ridiculous kind, have been noticed. If therefore great intellectual giants have had such eccentricities, we cannot be surprised that the average woman and man should manifest similar habits. The moral of our philosophy thus is this, that while we are blind to, or unconscious of, our own faults, errors, and idiosyncrasies, we should be indulgent to those of others. We should at least consider all the surrounding circumstances, and not denounce them too harshly or hastily. Remember that every human being is constantly liable to cause others pain and sorrow. All of us are prone to errors of judgment. In short, we shall need to be forgiven. There is an old golden rule that says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Why is this rule called golden? Because gold is the most precious of all metals. And likewise, this rule is the most precious, the best one ever given for human conduct. If we observe it, we shall have a forgiving disposition, and that in turn will lead to gentle forbearance and charity, which are the brightest gems in every character. How unreasonable it is to cherish ill will, and refuse to overlook an insult or injury. Be more generous, more noble, more forgiving, for that is the sure royal road to happiness, contentment, and a life well lived.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.